Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being on the call. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. As you may have heard just a moment ago, our assistant commissioner for water, Kathy Baskin, is also on the line. Thanks to Kathy, not only for being one of the organizers of this call, but also being the person that technically puts together the platform that allows a big number of us to get together. So thank you for that. I will also note that as I have in the past, that on this call, we're also joined by folks that work in a number of our wastewater, groundwater discharge programs, other programs, both from headquarters and the regional offices on the line. Again, we all believe it's important to be hearing the same information and where appropriate, being able to follow up where needed. So those colleagues from DEP are also with us today. A reminder that this call is recorded. We wanted to make sure you knew that, both for good meeting etiquette, and also as a reminder, we do post these recordings on our website, the website that we've developed for wastewater issues in relation to COVID on the MassDEP website. So a copy of this recording will be posted shortly. If you do have questions during the meeting, there's one of two ways we can get to it. One of the ways is to email Kathy Baskin, and I think her email address was in the invitation. It's kathleen.baskin@mass.gov. Apparently, if we're on a platform, there may also be ways through the chat function or other functions, if you're logged on through a computer, to be able to raise a question. And then finally, we'll be able to post this, or we'll be able to open the lines to allow for additional questions that may be coming in during the course of this program. So with that, before I start with a few of my own sort of general announcements, picking up where we left off last week, I do note that we have been fortunate each week to be joined by EPA, Denny Dart, and some of her team have been with us on the line. And I wanted to ask Denny if there was any updates she wanted to provide to us. And if so, unmute yourself, Denny, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Hello. Thank you, Commissioner. I wanted to respond to a question that we heard a couple of weeks ago about whether disinfectants can affect septic systems. And after talking to various scientists at EPA, I'd say yes. The answer is disinfectants are not good for septic systems. EPA has published a list of disinfectants that are effective against the virus that causes COVID-19. It's called List N, as in Nancy. And you can find these online, and I'll give the link to put in the questions and answers for today. The disinfectants on the list have not been tested specifically against the virus that causes COVID-19, but they are demonstrated to be effective against harder to kill viruses or other human coronaviruses. And all of these disinfectants on List N are meant for surfaces like counters, doorknobs. They are not meant to be ingested, or you shouldn't drink them, and you shouldn't flush them if you have septic systems. The reason they're a problem for septic is that these List N disinfectants can kill the beneficial bacteria that break down the organic matter in a septic system. So that was my answer for today. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Denny. And thanks. We will take that information and update our question and answer document, which we've been doing throughout this emergency situation. And we'll use the information you've provided on there. So thanks for that. One other person we usually check in with at the beginning of our calls is also John Murphy from the from the licensing board because we get questions about licensing, and we found that it's valuable to make sure that we're keeping those connections going. So, John, I might ask you to unmute yourself and let us know if you have any updates from the licensing side of the operation.
Yep. Thanks, Commissioner. No major updates for the most part, just a couple of notes I'd like to make. The exam site is scheduled to open May 18th. Right now, I would recommend anyone scheduling dates around that time to check with the PSI website to make sure. I was just scrolling through it a few minutes ago, and I did see the majority of the sites open on the 18th, but I did see Bridgewater opens June 1st. So I don't want anyone, you know, scheduling and being confused there. So make sure you check the website when you're scheduling. As of today, all emergency certifications have been processed except for one. So that one will get done this week. And also, we've seen many online training options becoming available. So if your facility is looking for online training, or if you have an online trainer that you're using, please reach out to me and we can get that approved. But a lot of the major training programs have moved or are moving to online training. So there should be a good amount of availability of online training in the next few months. Other than that, the Q&A page that's been updated should have answers to our past questions. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, John, thanks for that update. A few things before we get into you know, the questions that you might have. First, as we've noted and John reinforced, we are updating our question and answer page, and we will continue to do so. There are a couple of issues that have come up in past calls, and some of them are harder to resolve issues than others, and you know, I wanted to give you an update on them. First of all, you know, we've gotten the question about whether there's a formal testing program available to utility operators, including water and wastewater, for medical testing, and to date there is not. We have continued to engage with the command center, the Commonwealth's command center. As you know, they're dealing with testing, you know, across the Commonwealth in a number of areas. We've highlighted the question. What I will say is that, right now, what we've been talking about on the other calls, you know, in addition to the precautions, like if an employee is, somebody's not feeling well, you know, stay home. If there is a need for a medical test, either for clearance purposes or other things, and you cannot find it through, you know, either by working with your local board of health or through your own, you know, private medical provider, and it is the type of thing that, you're just coming up against a dead end, let us know. Let Kathy Baskin and I know, and we'll do our best to work with the command center in those individual cases to try to provide some additional options. Secondly, we got a question last week, and it involves how broadly medical information can be shared, and the case arose where people from a water or wastewater utility had to go into a private home and learned later or were concerned later on that maybe they were in a home where somebody had the virus. And the question was, can water and wastewater utilities proactively get from the local health authorities, you know, updated information about places where COVID is so that they know if they're walking into a situation where someone might be infected. As you know, we are continuing to ask the command center about that. Our initial view and what I initially had understood about this is that health information is not widely shared. I know there was some issue about have they been sharing it with first responders, you know, police or EMS that are going into a building. But we have not heard that, you know, boards of health yet, and we're still talking to the command center about this, but we have not heard that, you know, boards of health can share that information more broadly. Again, you know, we'll keep pursuing it. You know, we recognize some of the people asking the questions have noted, while, you know, a good practice would be that if you can find out from somebody in the house in advance, you know, by asking, that's one avenue. But as we've acknowledged, that may not be possible in certain cases. And so the idea of answering this other question about whether information from health authorities can be proactively provided is one we're continuing to pursue. One other update is the work that EPA has done to secure cloth masks for employees of wastewater facilities as well as drinking water facilities. We have been regularly engaged. This effort has been led at the EPA level by Jane Downing of the Drinking Water Program. She's in communication with FEMA and Homeland Security folks. We here in Massachusetts put together an effort working with a number of you on the phone to devise a plan to figure out, first, if the federal government is shipping it to Massachusetts, where's it going to land in the first instance? And then secondly, thinking about a distribution plan so that all of you who have filled out our survey and expressed a need and a desire to receive these masks would get them. It is not surprisingly, in a situation like this, it's still a little uncertain when these masks are going to arrive. One data point had it arriving next week, and but in the meantime, we've been told it could arrive at any time. We've heard that masks have arrived in other states with very little notice, and so we want to be ready. So there's been a big effort with groups like Mickey Nowak's group, Jen Peterson at Mass Waterworks, a number of the utilities to devise a place to, you know, devise a program to first receive the masks, and then secondly, working with us using the information that we got from the surveys that hopefully many of you filled out to distribute them. And so we'll keep you posted when we know that the masks are here, and we will make sure that we are able to work with you to distribute them as quickly as possible. A reminder that even though I think we had a deadline of last week to fill out the survey, it's not too late if you haven't filled out a survey yet to do that. And, again, my thanks to a number of the utilities who have stepped up to be the regional recipients who will then help us get these masks out further. Greater Lawrence Sanitary District, the MWRA, Upper Blackstone, Springfield Water and Sewer, the number, there are other utilities as well, and then other organizations as well that have helped us, and they've been on a number of efforts with us to make sure that we have a good system in place, so we'll keep you posted on that. One question we also get regularly is the economic impact of this virus. People have started to do some thinking about what this will mean going forward, not only the costs of the virus. And again, in our FAQs, we have some more information about tracking costs that may be FEMA recoverable, but also looking ahead, what are the economic impacts of the change to the economy, diminution of revenues that operations like yours might be receiving as a result of the economic slowdown. And people are interested in knowing whether there is going to be a stimulus that will take up, the issues of water and wastewater utilities. We don't have a new update. I'm sure you, like me, have been seeing in the newspapers there is talk of another stimulus. It does look like it's talking more specifically about state and local government issues. As you know, we've articulated to the command center and to others the fact that this is a major concern to your you and your colleagues. We have tried to make sure that everybody knows that it's not only it's not only a concern, but that we are aware of some efforts at the federal level, you know, to talk about this. Some of the national organizations have been putting together white papers for Congress to look at, and we've made sure that we have plugged into all of the efforts that we can here. But as yet, there's I have not heard a formal timeline yet for the next wave of economic relief, but certainly we have been doing our best to highlight this as something that is a big priority. So with that, I think that covers all the issues, and I think that also covers the questions that we got last night and this morning over the email in advance. One was about testing, and then the other one was about where are we on the mask shipments. So with that, I might ask Kathy Baskin if anything's come in either through email since we started or through the online chat function of this web platform that we're all operating on.
Thank you, Commissioner. A couple of emails have come in, one from Mickey Nowak reminding us that NUIPIC is hosting PPE considerations for wastewater operators and collection system staff webinar tomorrow from 2 to 3:30. So I think if you go to the NUIPIC website, you'll find information about that, and maybe Tom Groves is on. If people have questions, you could probably put a question in the chat box. In fact, if I can find the web link, I will put that into the chat box. Also on the chat box is our survey for the cloth masks, which we're expecting very soon, and we're still open for business. So if people, even though we had a deadline last week, we're certainly able to add you in and make sure that there are masks available for you. I know Tom O'Donovan from New Hampshire DES is on the call, and I believe New Hampshire was surprised by a delivery over the weekend, so we're expecting them anytime. There have been great. Somebody has already posted the NUIPIC PPE webcast in the chat. There's a question about BioBot, if we've heard anything more about expanding sampling across the state. I personally have not. I don't know if anybody else has. I'm not sure if you have, Commissioner.
No, and as you know, they're not going through you know, through Mass DEP. It sounds like BioBot is reaching out to the, you know, the operators and the facilities directly. And I think a few weeks ago we heard that, you know, one of the systems had tried to sign up, and I guess BioBot was at capacity, but they were going to revisit it. But no, the short answer is I don't think we've heard anything at the DEP level about additional entities signing up.
So we just have our two in the state right now, it sounds like.
Yeah. Hi, this is Melissa with South Hampton. I did hear when I was talking with BioBot recently that they are looking to expand. And they also indicated that they were in talks with someone at the state level to help facilitate this, and even provide some funding to help out with the cost of the testing. So I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know that they are looking into it.
Well, I will, you know, again, I talk a couple of times a day to our energy and environment contact at the command center. And I assume, you know, if it's coming in, you know, what, I don't think that request has come in to DEP, you know, whether it's, you know, our colleagues in public health or public safety or somewhere else, it you know, there are many doors they might be using, but they would all lead back to the command center. So I will, I'll go talk to our contact at the command center, and we'll try to have an update by next week to see if, you know, if they are working with the state, because that would be a development that I would be interested in, and I'm sure all of you would be as well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can.
Okay, this is Alyssa Buck. I'm calling from Connecticut. I recently got added to BioBot, and so I know that they are looking to expand. I think they were doing like 100, and now for this month, they're willing to look up to, I think she said up to like 400 facilities. The catch is the price is gonna increase substantially. So for the month of May, they're doing the same like $120 per sample that pretty much just covers shipping. But in June, they're gonna start charging market price, which is $1,200 a sample, which is why they're recommending that you contact state representatives about helping with funding for that. But they are looking to expand. And if you think that is something that you'd be interested in at your facility, I did just paste like their website link that you can type your organization's information into, and then they'll contact you with more info.
Okay, thanks for that update.
Yeah,
and Commissioner, I also see that Nantucket, they may want to speak. They recently sent two samples off to BioBot at the discounted rate of $120 per sample.
Okay, good to know. And like I said, we'll raise this up to the command center and see, you know, see if we can get the latest on this.
There are a couple of other comments in the chat box. Fitchburg wanted people to know, so for folks on the phone, that Fitchburg has issued out a support appeal letters for COVID stimulus support for water and wastewater to U.S. Representative Trahan and Senator Warren and Senator Markey. So they've already started their appeals. And then there is a question for the group. And that is, for anyone who is willing to share, can anyone give us a sense of whether there's been any serious impacts of wastewater treatment plant performance due to COVID issues, staffing issues, illnesses? So I guess this person is looking for a sense of how it's going.
Well, while we're waiting for, you know, others to potentially weigh in on that, it's a good question. I will say, you know, at the DEP level, you know, I don't know that we've heard about a lot of cases of infected employees. I do know a lot of you have been thoughtful about, you know, the way you allocate staff to make sure that you do have enough coverage, you know, throughout this emergency, you know, the split shifts and the other strategies you're using. So if there are, you know, particular impacts that people wanted to highlight, you know, I guess we can see whether we're getting any response.
Right. I think there was one facility a couple weeks ago that had at least let me know that there was an illness. But I have not heard of any others.
Mickey Nowak here. I'm going to mention, you know, one obvious issue is when you split the shifts in half and you have people not meeting, one group not meeting up with the others, you know, causes some logistical issues. People want vacation days or call and stick or things like that, and you can't mix the groups. So there's some gymnastics with the staff and probably some added cost to it. I think everyone is going to be happy when we go back to the normal staffing setup.
Great. Good comments. Yeah. Well,
sorry.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I was going to say, so if there are some more comments, and Fitchburg was affected, and is willing to discuss, and I will give Jeff a call to get more information about that illness. So he's offered to speak with folks, and Jeff, I will give you a call. Hadley says they're down to one operator due to one leaving and another with COVID-19, and is asking for an update on staffing plan, or was asked to update the staffing plan and emergency plan. So I don't know if Matthew from Hadley wants to comment further about that. If not.
Hello, this is Matt.
Hi,
there
Matt.
He is.
I'm from MassDEP, Wiro. We just got this update today or late yesterday from Hadley.
Okay. Okay, so they're in good hands then.
Coming to, to take a look at this since they're down to one operator. And come up with a plan as to how they're going to meet the staffing requirements, and if they need an emergency staffing plan to do that as well.
Okay. And I see Tom, we've also got a message that in New Hampshire, the flushables are, quote unquote flushables, which we all know are not flushable, like wipes, are still impacting systems. And there are some impacts of maximizing social distance. And I think that probably has to do with the staffing and how they work in the field. There's a question here. How should New Hampshire facilities go about obtaining masks from the delivery this past weekend? That's from W. Reed. And that one, I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe if New Hampshire DES is able to respond, that'd be great. We can put it in the chat.
Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom here. Yeah, sure. Whoever W. Reed is, just ask him to drop myself or Tracy or Sarah a note. We'd be happy to help.
What's a good contact? And I'll just type it in the chat.
Yeah, you want my email address? Is that you've got my email address handy, right? Or I can give it to you.
Yeah, I'll pop it in there.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Somebody has asked, is DEP expecting all facilities to return to normal on May 18th?
Great question. Great question. No, I think, it's obviously it will be, there's a lot of work ongoing, as people think about the, what the future will bring. And, in broad strokes, you've seen our governor say that, he needs to, see data that would support the types of relaxations of some of the things that we have in the emergency orders. Secondly, people are talking about phased approaches, I think, not just in Massachusetts, but everywhere. We will, we have been, starting to think about this, but two things. While we cannot, give definitive answers, because people are still gathering data and working on approaches, one of the things we will do is try to give people lead times. But I would say that it's virtually certain that it's going to be a phased approach, and it's not like necessarily, all at once. And it's a good question, and we will be working with you to develop approaches so that as things start moving back to more normal activities, there is time, preparation time, time to strategize. But we'll keep you updated on that.
Let's see, I put Tom email in incorrectly the first time, and he's corrected it, and now it's in there corrected. So folks, is it two T's at the beginning, Tom?
No, that's my typo. It's the second one I just sent you. Just one T and an apostrophe. Trying to make it as challenging.
Okay. All right. So hopefully everybody knows if you're on the phone, it's Thomas.O'Donovan, D-O-N-O-V-A-N at DES.NH. So this is for New Hampshire Mass. .gov.
Perfect. Thank you, Kathy.
There was a question, Commissioner, about is there a movement on a state program for quote-unquote flushable messaging?
We've tried a couple of times, and what I'm hearing today, and it sounds like it's not just in Massachusetts, but it sounds like New Hampshire is still continuing to deal with it. So what I'm hearing from the conversations today is that the outreach we've tried to do, we could probably do again. And so I've made a note that we'll see what we can do for social media and other forms of communications. We have been trying to push this message out anywhere we can, but one of the things that DEP controls is its own Twitter account. And we can start with that and also, work with other people that are really good at social media to push out other things. So we'll take that as one of our homework assignments and start working on that immediately. It's a good reminder. You can't remind people often enough, apparently.
I think New Hampshire's had some really good success, some measured success with their program. Is that right, Tom?
We have had some success, some reduction in flushables. We're also working with Washington, D.C. on this longer-term project for potential national legislation on designation of what's flushable. But we are still experiencing some increase in impacts to the larger plants. So we're going to keep doing it exactly what the Commissioner said. We're going to keep messaging.
Yep. Good. So go ahead, Jen.
Nothing else has come in that I am seeing.
Hi, so, I have a question. Hi, this is Lisa DeLair, Mass DEP. Hi, Commissioner and Kathleen. I have a question about the flushables also. Is there a way to try to get the manufacturers to stop saying that they're flushable? like on the package? Is there a way that EPA can maybe try to sway manufacturers to really say, do not flush these? I mean, I know they probably say do not flush them, but people are still flushing them.
This is Mary Barry. Can I weigh in on that?
Yeah.
Just a little bit that WEF, our national, NUWEA's national organization, had a lawsuit directly for that against, I think it's Kimberly-Clark, who is one of the major manufacturers. Unfortunately, the lawsuit did not pass, and that was about 3 or 4 years ago. They are still working on it now. To try and get the packaging to say whether it's flushable or not. And Canada actually had a study along with China that demonstrated that they should not be flushable because they're not dispersible. So WEF is working on that with Washington and DC, the DC, the community of DC is the only place in the United States that actually does not, that bans flushables, because they're the only ones that accepted it. But the rest of the federal government has not accepted it, and it went to federal court for them to specifically list on the packaging that these are not flushable. So it is in the works. It's just, you know, you're dealing with a very large private organization with a lot of legal power that has been able to usurp the legal departments of WEF and other organizations. I think AWWA was also in on that lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, as you've noted, Mary, thank you for that, and you know, Tom also, there are a couple of approaches. You know, first of all, because these products are sold in interstate commerce, there's probably a federal piece, and so that's why people are talking to Congress about this. And you know, those who, you know, I don't know which federal agency regulates what you're allowed to say on your package or what type of advertisement you can use, but, you know, we know it when we see it, when we hear about some of these controversies. And so it sounds like there's some of that ongoing. But, you know, obviously, what I also hear from this group in the shorter term is what we can do, what is within our control, and the messaging and the reminders, you know, on the theory that most people want to do the right thing. And some, you know, they want to do the right thing. So we need to help them do that. And some things you cannot message enough, and this would be one of them. And so I think whatever happens at the federal, you know, commerce level versus, you know, I don't quite know state authorities for regulating products, you know, I guess we could ask. But in the meantime, the immediate thing we can do is the messaging here. And it seems like it's a problem across the board that this particular emergency has really put a spotlight on. And so hopefully that will help all of these discussions when people talk about changing packaging requirements and what you're allowed to advertise. Any other comments? Anybody want to unmute themselves and ask something or make a comment?
Are you able to hear me? My name is Frank.
Hi, Frank. Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I've never done this. I've never been on these things before. I'm going to definitely take advantage of it in the future. This is excellent. I went last year, last December, I went to a MAWIA meeting, and among the different discussions, I opined that part of the problem we have out here in the field, I run a small plant down in in Marion, and one of the problems we have is getting operators, experienced or otherwise, and the way the testing has gone down does not facilitate this. I understand that why there would be a problem now where you've got people in a closed environment who are taking the tests on computers. I came up through the old system with a much bigger room testing twice a year. And the cost of this, I've got a young man who right now has an emergency certification for a grade 4, which he needs to work at this plant, but that's going to time out. And being able to afford these tests. Some people simply don't test well. Now, it may sound like I'm off on a tangent. I'm really not. Please trust me on this. But if there's something, I'm just saying this so that the powers that be, who, that's all of you, can take into consideration for future discussion what can be done to make it easier for people who do want to be operators, because it is an excellent field, especially now. What can we do to make that better? What can we do to get more operators into the field? Masks will come, I believe that. I'm a positive thinker on this thing with the COVID. I'm 67 years old, so I'm pretty vulnerable, but I'm not losing sleep over this thing. But I just wanted to put that out there. And since the flushables came in and they're clearly connected, so is the difficulties we have in getting operators for the plant. And a lot of guys my age, I should be gone right now. I should be retired, but I'm sticking around to try to see this thing out. We have other projects as well. But anyway, that's the end of it. I won't keep going on.
Well, Frank, I appreciate the comment. And it's something actually that, it really resonates with me. And as you know, this was an issue even before this emergency. And we've heard the comment, it's drinking water operators, wastewater operators, and how do we make sure that we are ensuring the capacity going forward and that people are entering, as you pointed out, a field that, is an important field and one that, should be one where people are looking to make career choices. We've had some efforts in our central region, particularly, and actually I would also say in our western region, the idea of, figuring out ways to get people, when they're still in school to think about this as a career. We've done work with the technical high schools. I think there's an effort ongoing, maybe to involve some of the community colleges. We can offer courses in the curriculum, so that people will identify these types of opportunities early on and then engage in the field. So it's something that, again, I feel like it's broader than me. It's broader than DEP. We've tried to engage with some of the organizations about it. We're always when we have an opportunity to talk to our colleagues in the in the state educational field, we raise this as an opportunity, and it's something that we'd like to keep working on for all the reasons that you identified. This is important for our future. This is absolutely essential that we have the next generation of operators. It's important that we have a good field of operators now so that when systems have, turnover, that there is a pool of people that can take part in it. So, Kathy Baskin has been working with some of our folks, some of those regional folks we were talking about on some of these efforts. So it's a good reminder for us to get back to it and to make sure that this is a sustained effort that DEP and frankly, a number of us on this call keep working on.
I appreciate it very much. By the way, if I got another Zoom to go to at 10 o'clock. So if somebody puts something out there, has something, at that time and I don't respond, I apologize, I won't be on.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll make sure that the information we develop on this, makes its way onto our website as well.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions?
Wendy Leal from the MWRA just noted during our flushable conversation that there's legislation at Mass State House, but it's in the early stages. And there's somebody's concerned that it's the workforce development issue is also related to salaries. But there are no more questions that I've seen mm-hmm. come in.
Okay. Well, it's been, all of the topics I think that we've talked about, have been important both, for now dealing with the emergency and even some of these beyond as we've discussed. I think it helps really underscore the value of us being able to get together and talk like this. If there are no additional questions, then what we'll do is we'll update our question and answer documents again. We'll remind again, if anybody on this call hasn't filled out the cloth mask survey, it's not too late, and we really encourage you to do so. With regard to the cloth masks, when they arrive, we will make sure that we are letting you know, and we will have plans for distribution. And in the meantime, the question about what does the future look like be really an important question, and we will be talking more about that when we're on the phone next week again. You know, we understand that there's a lot of moving pieces, and so we'll try to tell you the latest of what we're learning about the planning, recognizing that again, this is we're going to be in this situation for a while, but we will start thinking ahead with you on this. So with that, thank you once again for the time, and thank you once again for all the work you're doing in this very, very difficult time. And we'll look forward to talking to you again at 9 a.m. a week from today, this upcoming Wednesday. So thanks again.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.